2 Corinthians 5:17. And what I want to do tonight is just look at, as we kind of wrap this up, we've looked at many things. We've shared many things about becoming a new man in Christ or a new person in Christ. We've talked about being engrafted into Christ. We've talked about our identification in Christ. We've talked about, who are you wearing in Christ? You know, people wear a lot of things, but who are you wearing? And what are you wearing? See? And so we've moved on, and we're now, we started talking about righteousness, and the last lesson I did was something that Rick Renner wrote about Philemon, and I'll just go over that and refresh us just for a moment, just in case you forgot. But Philemon 6, which says that the communication of our faith becomes effectual by the communication, or it says our faith becomes effectual by the communication of our faith. Whoops, I'm saying it wrong. What is that? I'm misquoting. I don't want to misquote. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So the communication of your faith becomes effectual. And so we looked at that, and so now I want to just look this evening a little bit about the fruits of righteousness and the works of righteousness. And all of these are part of taking our place in Christ, that when we begin to know who we are in Christ, we take our place in Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Amplified Bible, it says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So that hold, that old moral spiritual condition that had us in bondage, we've been delivered from it. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So I've got a new master. Amen. I've got a new Lord, and I'm in his kingdom, and so the devil has no hold on me anymore. He could tempt me, but he has no control over me. That's all he can do is tempt. The Phillips, it says, the past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. The Laubach translation, it says, the man he was has passed away, and behold, a new man has been created. So our old past has been eliminated. You know, they talk about it in the legal world, or the, you know, your record has been expunged. That means they can't find any record of wrongdoing. If you were in prison and they said, okay, you're not guilty, or we're going to expunge your record, that means if they tried to go back and find something, they can't find it. It's been wiped out. It's been erased. So that means that God has erased by how? The blood of Jesus. The blood has eradicated everything that's been held against me. He became my sin. So that means everything that I did, it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. That's so exciting to me, because the devil can't come and tempt you or taunt you about your past. And if he does, read him a bedtime story. Just read him a story. And tell them, yeah, that may have been my past, but it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Let me read about your future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've been set free in Christ. So in Christ, you're not just a forgiven sinner. In Christ, you're a brand new creation. Amen. Glory to God. So Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Glory to God. So let's just go over just and look at Philemon. I know I read it, but let's look at it again. Let's go to Hebrews back up, and we don't want to back up. We want to go forward. But let's look at Philemon, verse 6. And I like the Laubach translation with this. But the King James, it says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. The Laubach translation says, I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. Now, let me just touch on this a moment that was written in some notes in Sparkling Gems. If you have that book, you can go look it up. This is by Rick Renner. And he said this word effectual, which is in the King James, the communication of that faith may become effectual. He said this word, this Greek word effectual is energeo, which we get the word energy from. And he said Paul's words could actually be rendered that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated by how? The acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. So when we begin to speak the word of God, when we begin to pronounce or profess the word of God, I'm doing what? I'm energizing and activating, which is what? This is what we call faith. Faith speaks. 2 Corinthians 4, what does it say? It says, we who have what? Believed, therefore do what? Speak. So when I believe something, I do what? I speak it. So I'm doing what? I'm releasing faith. I'm activating and energizing that which I believe. That's the word of God. So the exciting thing about this is that when you begin to speak the word of God, when we activate some of these things, it's through what? It's through faith. So he also goes on to talk about this word acknowledging. And he said this word is, this Greek word is called epignosis, which describes a, he said in the Greek, it describes a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. So he said when a person has a deep knowledge and intensive study of the facts, they're what? They're confident. They're not they're not wishy-washy about it. They know the facts and they're confident. And they do it with boldness. So a person who activates and energizes by doing what? Communicating their faith, it's by acknowledging that which is in Christ. In other words, so I'm acknowledging something because I have a intense, I've got a knowledge of something. And we could also go as far as saying it's rhema. Something that the Holy Ghost, through my study, through my scouring the scriptures, the Holy Ghost does what? Reveals something to my spirit. Faith comes, and I acknowledge that, and I speak it, right? That's how something's energized and activated. So when you look at various scriptures, then you look at Philemon, you can see all of it, how it ties together. Oh, yes. So this that we're talking about is all part of, when you look at even Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, right? We're talking about meditating therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Same thing. Same thing. Same exact thing. So when we look at this, he pointed out here, he said this word epignosis depicts a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. Paul is letting us know that it is essential for you to possess a knowledge of exactly who you are in Christ. This is what he's talking about, having a firm, solid understanding, an intense, well-instructed knowledge of, right? He said, a knowledge of what Jesus has purchased in your redemption. So it's who you've become in Christ and knowledgeable of what Christ purchased in your redemption, a knowledge of every good thing that God has placed in you by Christ, a knowledge of all the truths that is so concrete and so unshakable that you are immovable in what you think and believe. When you've got those, then you have confidence and boldness. And you do what? You speak it. You confess it. You pronounce it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So these things here are important. Now, let's go over to, I want to just touch on this a little bit. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verse 7 through 10. I want to look at this for a minute and look at verse 10, but let's back up to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, starting in 7 in the King James. It says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and does what? Multiply your seed sown, and does what? Increase the what? The fruits of your righteousness. So this says here that God will increase the fruits of your what? Your righteousness. The Amplified, it says this in verse 10, and God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. So this says here that as we give, and now this talking about here, he gives seed to the sower, and he said that both, and he says here in the Amplified, and bread for eating, and he multiplies your resources for sowing, and increases the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself in what? Active goodness, kindness, and charity. So God does that. He increases. And so there ought to be in us a reflection of an increase, right? Not a decrease, but an increase in the fruits of our righteousness. There should be. Now, turn over to John 15 for a moment, because we want to look at it in John. I want to look at John 15 and then John 14. John 15. And look at verse 4 and 5. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch, who's the branch? We're the branch. As the branch cannot bear what? Fruit of itself, except it abide where? In the vine. So if you're going to bring forth an increase in the fruits of righteousness, you're going to have to do what? Abide in the vine. That's key. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So that means you can't bring forth fruits of righteousness without doing what? Staying in the vine and abiding in the vine. And the more you stay there, there's more increase. There's more of an increase. So the branch bears the same kind of fruit as the vine. You don't bear something different than the vine. You have the life of the vine in you. So you're going to be bearing the same kind of fruit that the vine bears. It is like the vine. It is part of the vine. So you are part of the vine. You are going to bring forth fruit like the vine. So when we're not staying connected, then it affects the manifestations of the fruit of the righteousness in our life. So the fruits of righteousness in our lives will be blessing and helping people, healing their diseases, sharing the word of God with people, breaking the power of the devil over their lives, walking in love towards people, showing, and when you look at Jesus' life, showing a fearless attitude towards the devil, showing a fearless attitude toward the devil and all his works, showing a fearless mastery over circumstances. In other words, you're fearless over the circumstances that confront you. See, that's walking in your righteousness. Jesus, when you think about it, his entire ministry was the fruit of his righteousness. His entire ministry. He walked fearless. He wasn't afraid of the Father. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He wasn't afraid of circumstances. He wasn't afraid of storms. He spoke to them. He confronted them. And he stayed connected. He said, the things that I do, I don't do of myself. The things that I say, he told me to say them. So really, when you think about this, this is the part that's exciting to me. When we read this, they're really, you know, they're Jesus' words, but they're not his words. You know what I mean by that? They're the Father's words, spoken through him. Yes, they're in red. Jesus said them, but they didn't come from him. They came from the Father. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So these words came from the very heart of the Father to mankind through his Son. And when we embrace that and we stay connected to the vine, we can stand up and confront situations in life and speak to them and command them to change, just like Jesus did. Fearless. Amen. So righteousness, again, means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority. What does it say in Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let's just back up. We're in John 15. Let's look at John 14. And let's just read from, really want to just focus on verse 12, but let's back up to verse 9. It says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Look, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for what? The very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus did works of righteousness. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. So that means what? That means we're to produce fruit of righteousness and works of righteousness, because he said so. And it should be increasing. If we reached a certain point, that's good, because I know we all have. But that means we're to do what? Increase. That means we're to look to God and say, okay, increase the fruit in my life. Increase it. And believe God for that. Trust him for that. And let him expand you. Because we're all, you know, we're his only hands and feet here in this earth. And too often, you know, I find, and I know you know this, but a lot of times people will say, well, they don't need my help because, well, you know, they already have help. Or they don't need this or they don't need that because they're covered. And sometimes God may be prompting us to do something, to fulfill a need, to go over here and do something. We're the hands. And he's trying to expand or to do what? Work these fruits of righteousness through us, and we just have to yield. We have to obey. Amen. Everybody all right tonight?
Yes.
So he blessed the world, so will we. He fed the multitudes, so will we. You know, sometimes you say, well, how am I going to feed multitudes? I remember, some of you may remember him, Scott Isabel, when he worked here years ago. He was a young man, and he went off to Christ for the Nations. And you may remember him, but his story. And he started working in the kitchen while he was going to Bible school. And little did he know, but that cafeteria was privately owned. And it was not school owned. And the owner of the cafeteria liked him. And so he kind of took him under his arm. And Scott was very business-minded, but he began to give him a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, and he started letting him run the business while he was going to Bible school. And the man liked him so much, after that, after he finished, he kept them on, and he said, Scott, he said, I really want to retire, and he said, I'd like to turn the business over to you. So he legally signed the business over to him and gave him a multi-million dollar business for him to run and to own. He owns it. And he's got 30 or 40 employees, at least the last time we communicated. And he said all he wanted to do was be taken care of. But the story he told, he supports a number of missionary outreaches. And he said this one missionary outreach, I think he said it was in either Kenya or Nigeria, one or the other. It was an African country. And he said the country could not continue to feed and support. So they were feeding, I think he said this outreach was feeding somewhere around 30 or 40,000 people. And he said the government couldn't support the rest of the people who needed food. And they told him, go over to them. And so now another large group of people came. And he said all they had was enough to feed this group, which was a lot. And he said they began to trust God, and they kept spooning the food out, spooning the food out, spooning the food out, and it never ran out. That's what I'm talking about, feeding the multitudes. So I remember him telling that story. He said they sent another 40 or 50,000 to feed, and they fed them out of those pots, supernaturally. Some of these things we don't hear, because the news, unless it comes from through some sources and channels, we never hear about it, about the supernatural things that are going on. And so these are just, you know, I guess they were just everyday people serving God and believing God. So he fed the multitudes, so will we. We're going to do the same thing he did. And he healed the sick, so will we. These are the fruits of righteousness, taking our place in Christ. So let's look at another scripture here, Romans 3. Let's turn over to Romans 3 and verse 22. And the reason we can is because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So if you've been born again, you're what? You're a new creature in Christ. You've become brand new, and you've become what? Justified. You've been made righteous. So Romans 3, let's look at verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, thank God, and upon all them that do what? Believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And how did that redemption come? Through the blood of Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through what? Faith in his what? His blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and what? The justifier of him which does what? Believe in Jesus. Believeth in Jesus. I like some of these other translations. The Amplified, it says, it was, in verse 26, it was to demonstrate and prove at the present time, in the now season, that he himself is righteous and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. So you've been made the righteousness of God. This 2 Corinthians 5:21. You've been made the righteousness of God in him. So that means that all my past has been done away with. I can walk right into the very presence of God and ask for something. I can begin to have, who's living in me? God lives in me. Greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. That means I can confront something that opposes or challenges the promises of God or challenges the authority of the Word of God. And I do what? I speak the Word of God, and I do what? I command it to back up, to change, to leave, to go. That's taking my place in Christ. Amen. This is the Beck translation. It says, now he wanted to show his righteousness, to be righteous himself and make righteous anyone who believes in Jesus. So we looked at that a lesson or so ago, where I was sharing that in this book here, Two Kinds of Righteousness, E.W. Kenyon shared this. He said, there are two phases to righteousness. He said, first, God declares us righteous. And that you can look up in Romans 3:24. It says, being justified, we just read that, being justified freely. We just got done reading that. By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And some of the other translations, the Bible in Basic English, it says, and they may have righteousness put to their credit freely. The Common English Bible says, but all are treated as righteous freely. How? By his grace. So first, God declares us righteous. And then second, we're made new creations. When what? We have faith in Christ. And then what happens? Then the power of God comes into our life and changes our heart. We become brand new. So that means that this righteousness that we have, even the fruits of righteousness, are part of us going and doing what? Sharing the good news, the ministry of reconciliation. All of this is tied in where I'm to go out and to do what? Bear fruit. Share the good news of the gospel. So this righteousness, turn over to Hebrews 10 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, the more you talk the scripture, the more you talk, the word of God has in it, what does the scripture say, Romans, in the first chapter, in verse 16? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. So this word has the power in it to change me, change my thinking, change circumstances. It has the power in it to do it. So the more I speak righteousness, the more I speak about it, it begins to change and transform my very thinking, and it changes me on how I see myself. Oh, yes, it does. That's why we need to talk about it and think about it. Hebrews 10 and verse 14, it says, for by what? One offering he hath perfected how? Forever them that are what? Sanctified. So one offering. Forever he perfected them that are sanctified. We've been made perfect. Once for all. Forever. Through his blood. So God took the sin nature out of his man, out of man, and in its place put his very nature into mankind so that we could stand before him, how? Without any sin consciousness, without a sense of sin consciousness, and without any sense of guilt or inferiority. Now, think about this. You could be saved, and I'm not talking about you, but I'm saying this is a supposition here. You could know somebody that's saved and has been made a brand new creature in Christ. They've been made righteous. Their sins have been washed and cleansed and remitted. They could have gone as far as even receiving the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. They've been justified. They've been made righteous, but they're still dominated by a sin consciousness. Do you know people like that?
Yes,
we do. You sure do. Churches are full of people like that. And that's a sad state of affair, isn't it? And that's why when he writes this book, he puts right on the front the most important message ever offered to the church. Knowing who you've become in Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when I speak that, it begins the power of that. When faith comes and I begin to speak that, what is it? The communication of my faith energizes and activates that which I acknowledge. And so the power of the word begins to reveal and unfold in greater measure who I've become. And I begin to identify with that. I begin to embrace it. I begin to stand in it, don't I? And I begin to speak it. No, you're not going to do that to me, devil. No, sir. You back up. The blood of Jesus be against you. I do not fear in this house. And you begin to take your place and you begin to stand in Christ. But you're going to have to release the word of God. That's going to do what? Begin to change the very image of who you are in your thinking, in your soul. Which is what? Be not conformed to this world. Don't embrace how the world sees you. Don't embrace how the world talks about you. Don't embrace the world when it says, we got to fear this and fear. No, I don't fear. We just got done reading. It said here, he has what? He provides, it says here, He will give seed to the sower and bread for eating. He will multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. My cupboards will never be bare. He provides seed for me to sow. That's why when people say, well, I don't have any money to give. Well, then you're speaking against the word of God. God says he will provide seed for you to sow. So you ought to always be saying, I thank God I've got more than enough to give. Because God supplies seed for me to sow. And he gives me bread to eat. And he increases the fruits of my righteousness. Right? So the more we speak that, the more we talk it, then what are we doing? We're energizing it. We're giving it. We're activating it in our lives and giving God the right to do what? Move in our lives in that area. Amen. So that's what excites me about that. And so you could have people sitting in church that are dominated by a sin consciousness because that's what they talk about. That's what they meditate on. That's what they release in their words. Their words is their faith speaking. So when they speak fear, that's what they've been meditating on. When they speak lack, that's what they've been meditating on. They haven't been meditating on the word of God. They haven't let that dominate their thinking. Amen. Let's look at one last scripture as we close here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I would just recommend that, again, strongly, get this book and feed upon it. Read it if it's, sometimes I say it this way. if it's too much to digest all at once, you know, somebody puts this big plate, just eat a little bit, close it, and say, you know what, put that in the refrigerator, I'll come back to that later. I can only eat a little bit right now. And take a little bit, spoon feed yourself if it's too much. But I'm telling you, it will change your thinking. And the more you think about it, the more you speak it, the more you meditate on it, you energize it. You activate it in your life. And you will come up higher and higher in the things that you do. Your works and your fruits of righteousness. That's taking your place in Christ. But to me, it all centers around knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that you've become righteous and you've been made justified in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.